We're about to get started where we left off the previous Sunday. We're in the middle of the book Sipurei Maaseyos, Rabbi Nachman's stories, and we had started the third story, which is titled Maaseh Mechiger, the story of the cripple. And to summarize briefly what we've covered so far, Rabbi Nachman tells of a very wise person who shortly before he passed away, he gathered his kids, his children, and instructed them to water trees. He said they can be involved in other things also, but they should especially be involved in watering trees. Then this wise person passed away, and he left over children. One of his children couldn't walk. He was able to stand, but he couldn't walk. And his brothers used to support him to the point where he was able to save up a little bit. And at one point he thought it over and decided, why should I have to be dependent on others? I'd like to start up a business of my own, even though I can't walk. So sure enough, he decided to do this, and he rented a wagon and a person to assist him and a wagon driver. And he traveled to the city of Leipzig. He figured he'll travel there. There's a large city of business in eastern Germany, and he'll be able to do business. When his family heard about this, they were very happy, because again, they also weren't happy about just having to support him constantly, and they figured it would be great for him to be able to establish a business of his own. So they decided even to lend him money, additional money, to get established. He set out on this trip, and he came to an inn, and he stayed there a little bit of time, and his assistant and wagon driver begged him to stay overnight there. He refused. They begged him even further. They insisted, but he was stubborn, and they left in the middle of the night. And sure enough, they got lost in a forest, and they were attacked by thieves. And Rabbi Nachman went on to explain how this band of thieves got formed, that there was a particular place where there was a famine, and someone had come to the city and made an announcement, whoever wants food, livelihood, should come and gather to me. Sure enough, people gathered to him, and he used his shrewdness to choose out only the very bright people, those who he thought he could use for his purposes, and those who he felt he couldn't use, he just rejected them. One person, he told him, you'll be able to be a craftsman. The other one, he told him, you'll be able to work in the mill, as if he had jobs for each and every single one of them. And they followed him into the forest, into the wilderness. And eventually, he told them that he wants them to join him in his thievery, in robbing people. Because he told them, this area over here is a place where many roads intersect, where people who are traveling to Leipzig, to Breslau, to the main European cities at that time where there were large business fairs, and he said this would be an ideal place for us to be able to rob people. And sure enough, they joined him and they formed this band of thieves. And this band fell upon this cripple and his assistant and wagon driver. The assistant and wagon driver, who were able to escape, ran away. The cripple got left on the wagon. And when they asked him, what are you doing sitting here? He responded, I can't walk. So sure enough, they took his money chest that he had there and the horses, and they left him on this wagon. Now, his assistant and wagon driver thought that since they had borrowed monies from wealthy people, why should they go back home where they're not going to be able to necessarily return the monies and they'll end up in chains? Better they remain where they had escaped to, and that's it. That's what they did. Now, this cripple, so long as he still had food, because he had with him dried bread, so as long as he had that, he remained on the wagon. When he ran out of that and he saw he didn't have anything at all to eat, he decided to throw himself off the wagon and try to survive in the forest. There was nothing around to eat other than plants So he decided he has no choice. He started eating plants. And he spent the night in this forest. He was very frightened. And the fear, in a sense, paralyzed him to the point where he couldn't even stand up. All he could do was crawl. And what he would do is he would eat from the plants and the grass that was around him. And when he had used it all up completely, he would push himself on the ground, crawl further, and get to a place where there was more grass, new plants. And this is the point where we left off in the story in the previous shiur. Rabbi Nachman tells that one day he came upon a certain type of grass that he had never tasted before, something very unusual. And he liked it, and especially since he had become knowledgeable in this. He had tasted many different types of grasses, and this, something like this, he had never tasted before. So he really enjoyed it, and he decided to investigate this. So sure enough, he started pulling up the grass to see what its roots are like. How does this thing grow? And as he pulled it up, he found on the bottom, at the roots of it, he found a diamond under the roots of this plant. And this diamond was interesting. It was four-cornered, square. And each and every single side had a different, unique power to it. On one side of it was written that anyone who would take hold of that side of the diamond, it would transport him to the place where day and night meet up. Meaning, to the place where the sun and the moon unite. And when this cripple had pulled up this grass with the root, his hand happened to be by that corner of the diamond. So sure enough, when he took hold of it, he was immediately transported to the place where day and night come together. And he looked around and he saw that this is where the sun and the moon join together. And he overheard a conversation between the sun and the moon. He heard the sun complaining to the moon regarding the fact that there is a certain tree which has many branches to it, and fruit and leaves, and each and every single branch and each and every single fruit and each and every single leaf on this tree has unique powers to it. One is special in that it's able to help a person with being able to have children. Another one can help a person with earning a livelihood, parnosa. Another one can give a refuah, a cure, to sicknesses, to a particular sickness. Another leaf can heal a different sickness. Each and every single part of this tree, every branch, every leaf, and every fruit has some kind of healing power, some kind of a positive force to it. And this tree, obviously, needs to be watered, needs to be nourished. And if this tree were watered properly, it has incredible powers. And now the sun was complaining to the moon, not only don't I help this tree with water, but rather, when I shine upon this tree, I dry it up. The moon responded and said, why are you concerned about the problems of others? Why are you worrying about things that don't pertain to you directly? Why are you worrying the worries of others? Let me tell you my situation, the moon said. And the moon began to relate that I have 1,000 mountains. And surrounding these thousand mountains, there's another thousand mountains. And this is the place of the Shadin. The Gemara tells us that when Hashem first created the world, everything was created in 6 days. And we're told that shortly before the end of the sixth day, there were certain ruchais, certain spirits, that did not yet have bodies to be placed into. And these ruchais became what's known today, what's known in the Torah as Shadim. And the Gemara speaks about them in several different places in Shas. And the Gemara tells us that these Shadim are similar to angels in certain ways, and they're similar to human beings in certain ways. They multiply, they have families, they have male and female, and they have children like human beings do. And the Gemara again relates three different ways that they're similar to humans, three ways that they're similar to angels. Rabbi Nathal goes on to say in the story that these Shadim don't have regular human feet, but rather their feet resemble the feet of chickens. And they lack strength in their feet. And the moon went on to relate to the sun, because they have weakness in their feet, they draw from my feet. They draw from the legs of the moon. And because of that, this takes away strength and power from my feet. Now just to pause here for a moment, in Kabbalistic writings and in Hasidic writings, it's mentioned very, very often that when we speak about Hashem, Hashem is in order for us to be able to speak about the attributes of Hashem, we're presented an image of a form that's comparable to a human form. The terminology that's used is Adam Ho'elyon, a heavenly human form. And the 10 basic attributes of Hashem, as we know them, which are Keser, Chochma, Bina, and the other attributes are represented by different parts of the body. The brain, the three parts of the brain or the head, symbolize the attributes of Hashem, Keser, Chochma, and Bina, or Chochma, Bina, and Das, which pertain to knowledge, wisdom. The attributes of kindness and harshness are represented by the right hand and the left hand, and so on and so forth. The attribute of kingdom of Hashem is referred to as the lower part of the feet. The lower part of the feet is referred to as Malchus, kingdom. And we're told, the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic teachings tell us, that whenever we speak about evil trying to overcome good, or impurity trying to latch on to purity, they usually try to connect from the bottom. Just like Lahavdil, when we speak about people playing football, and you have a person who's strong and powerful, and someone else wants to bring that person down, one of the most usual ways to do it is by grabbing the person by the legs, and thereby being able to topple the person. So too Lahavdil, when we speak about holiness, when we speak about the battle between good and evil, the evil, the representation of it is that it's always trying to latch on to the feet of the Kedusha and bring it down. So that it's trying to latch on to the Malchus. It draws its energy, its strength, from this lowest one of the 10 attributes, which is called Malchus. Now, when we speak about, again, these two terms, Chachma, Chachma represents wisdom, knowledge, light, versus Malchus. Malchus represents kingdom. Malchus is also a term used to represent faith, which is something that doesn't involve great wisdom, great knowledge, great light. On the contrary, faith isn't that which a person doesn't see. They don't understand. They believe in something even though they can't understand it completely. These two are also represented by the sun and the moon. The sun represents Chachma, light. The moon, which has no light of its own whatsoever, it only reflects the light of the sun. The moon is used to represent Malchus, kingdom, this attribute of kingdom, or faith. So that the moon in general, the moon itself is used as a symbol of Malchus, faith. And in our particular story, the moon says that these Shadim, who don't have strength in their feet, they draw from my feet. And we said again, the feet, the legs, the lower part of the legs represent this Malchus, faith. Now the moon went on to say that I have a certain type of powder which brings about a cure for my feet. However, what happens is that when I want to use this powder, a wind comes along and carries away the powder, so that it's not able to affect the cure that I needed to for my feet. Now the sun spoke up and said, "You're worried? This is what you're worried about? Let me describe for you a cure. I'll give you a cure." And the sun went on to relate that there is a certain path whereby from this path come forth a variety of other paths. One path that comes forth is a path of tzaddikim, a path of the righteous. We know that the Torah uses this terminology, derech tzaddikim. Afilu hatzadik shehu bekan, and even a tzaddik that's here, they spread under his feet the powder that comes from that path every step that he takes. And with each step that the tzaddik walks on, he walks on that powder, that special powder that comes, that special dust that comes from the path of the tzaddikim. Then there's another path that's called the path of the apikorsim. An apikoros is the opposite of a tzaddik. An apikoros is generally one who does not believe, doesn't believe in Hashem, doesn't believe in tzaddikim. And here the sun was relating that there is a path of apikorsim, and even an apikoros from here, they spread the powder that comes from that path of apikorsim under every step that he takes. There's a third path that's called the path of Mishugoim, the path of the crazy people. And even a person, a crazy person from here, the sun said, also they spread under that person's feet this powder, and he walks on it. And there are other paths. There is a particular path whereby there are tzaddikim who accept suffering upon themselves. And there are wealthy people that lead these tzaddikim in chains, and these tzaddikim have no power, no strength in their feet. And what happens is they spread out under the feet of these tzaddikim the powder from that particular path, and that gives them a cure for their feet. That gives their feet strength. Therefore, I suggest to you, the sun now suggested to the moon, I suggest to you that you go there, and there's a lot of this powder, this dust, over there by that path, and this will give you a cure for your feet. You, the moon, are complaining that your feet are suffering, that the shadim, who have weakness in their legs, they're drawing on your legs, and they're taking away the strength from your feet. If you'll go to that path, that special path with these tzaddikim who accept suffering upon themselves and they have weakness in their feet, and then the dust of that path is put under their feet and their feet are rejuvenated, they have new strength, if you'll go there, your feet, your legs will be healed also. Now the cripple who's at this place where the sun and moon meet, the cripple who's overhearing this conversation between the sun and the moon, He also has a problem with his feet, with his legs. And suddenly he looked around at that diamond that he had found, and he looked at another side. We remember the first side he had looked at showed that if anybody holds on to that side, it'll bring them to the place where day and night meet, where the sun and the moon meet. Now he looked at another side, a second side of that diamond. He saw that if a person grabs hold of that second side of the diamond, it'll carry him to a path from which come forth many other paths. Sure enough, he grabbed hold of that second side of the diamond, and he was transported to this special path, and he placed his feet down upon the path, which had the powder, that dust, that was good for curing the legs, and his legs were healed immediately. Now he's no longer crippled. Now he can walk well. So he went ahead and he gathered up the powders that were found on each one of those other paths there. Remember, we mentioned earlier that there was a path of tzaddikim, there was a path of apikursim, there was a path of mishugoim. He gathered up powder from each and every one of those paths, and he made individual bundles of them, each one putting it in a separate bag. He gathered the dust from the path of the tzaddikim separately, and the other ones also separately, and he took them with him. Now he started thinking to himself, and he decided to go back to that forest where the robbers had burglarized him. As soon as he arrived back in that spot, he chose a tall tree, which was very close to that path where these robbers would come out to rob people. And he took some of the powder from the path of the tzaddikim, and he took some of the powder from the path of the mishugoim, of the crazy people, and he mixed them both together. And now he spread out this mixture on the path where he was expecting these robbers to walk by here. And he climbed up on the tree, up on high, to watch, to observe what happens now when these robbers come out and walk on this path now that has these two powders mixed together, the dust from the path of the tzaddikim and the dust from the path of mishugoim. Sure enough, one group of these thieves came out who were sent by their leader to go out and steal. And when they got to that place, to that path, as soon as they stepped on that dust, they immediately became righteous people. And they started screaming and crying out, "Why have we been doing these things? Why are we stealing from people? Why did we kill so many people during this period of time?" And they were bemoaning this. They were expressing how terrible they felt about this. However, because of the fact that some of the dust from the path of the mishugoim, of the crazy people, was also mixed in, so they became crazy tzaddikim. Meaning, what did they do? They started fighting among themselves. And they started blaming each other. Instead of looking at themselves and trying to realize what their own problems were, what they themselves had done, each one started blaming the other one for his problems, for his wrongdoings. This one said, "It's your fault that we stole." And this one said, "No, it's your fault." Until they actually started killing each other. And they killed each other out completely. Nobody left. Now the leader of this band of thieves waited for this troop to return. And when nobody came back, he figured, who knows, maybe they got caught by the governor. Who knows what could have happened to them? So he sent a second group. Same exact thing happened. They walked on this path that had the mixture of these two dusts, the righteous people and the crazies. And as soon as they walked on it, they became very righteous. And then their craziness kicked in. And they started killing each other. And that was the end of them. Until all the thieves had been killed out, until there were only two people left, the leader of the band, and one other person. Now, at this point, the cripple climbed down from the tree, and he swept away that powder that he had placed on that path, and now he took powder, dust, from the path of the tzaddikim, and he spread only that powder alone on the path. Now there's only one kind of powder on that path, only the powder of the righteous people. And he went back up on the tree. Now, this leader of the band of thieves was surprised. Here he keeps sending out members of his group, and none of them are returning. So he decided he's going to go himself with this one thief that's left there with him to go see what's happening. Sure enough, they went, and as soon as they walked on that path where this cripple, this one who was originally crippled, had spread out the powder of the tzaddikim, immediately this leader of the band became a righteous person. And he started screaming at this other thief that was there about how terrible he feels, how many people he's murdered, and how many people he's robbed. And he was just beside himself. He was screaming. He couldn't stop screaming, couldn't stop crying about how terrible he felt and how much he wants to repent. Now, when this person who was originally a cripple saw this, when he saw the deep regret that this leader of the band felt and how he was expressing his desire to repent, this cripple, previously crippled, came down from the tree, and as soon as this leader of the band of thieves saw him, he started screaming, "Woe is to me! Look, you know what I did? Could you tell me anything that I could do to repent? Can you give me any advice as to how to repent?" So this previously crippled man said to him, "Sure, return my chest of money that you stole from me, because I know that you guys keep records. You have written down every single thing you stole, that on this day you stole this, and you know from whom you stole also." So this leader of the band of thieves immediately said, I'll give it to you back right away. And not only that, but I'll give you everything that I have, all the stolen property that I have. Just please tell me how to repent. So this person who was previously crippled said to him, "I'll tell you exactly what your repentance is. Your repentance requires that you go to the city that you originated from there, you know, where you gathered this band of thieves, and you cry out, and you acknowledge, you admit, you confess your crimes, and you inform everybody there, 'I'm the one who made that announcement, saying whoever needs parnassa, whoever needs a livelihood, come to me, gather to me. And I'm the one who formed that band of thieves that's been robbing people that travel through this forest. And I've killed people and I've robbed many people. This is your repentance.'" Sure enough, this leader of the band of thieves gave him everything he had, all the entire stash that he had hidden away. And now this previously crippled person went with him into the city. And sure enough, this leader of the band did exactly what he said. He made an announcement. He confessed, "I'm the one who started that band of thieves and murderers." And they put him to trial in that city. And the verdict was that because he had murdered so many different people, therefore he has to hang. He has to serve as a lesson to others who would want to follow this path. Now, this person who was originally crippled decided to go to that place of the 2,000 mountains to see what that's all about. The place that the moon had described, that there's 1,000 mountains that are surrounded by another 1,000 mountains, which is the place where the Shadim are, and because they don't have regular legs, regular feet, they draw strength from my feet, the moon had said. As soon as this previously crippled person came there, he stood in a little bit of a distance away from the 2,000 mountains, and he saw thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of families of Shadim, because they multiply the way human beings do, and there are many of them, millions of them. And he saw their king sitting on a throne that no human king has, such an awesome, gorgeous throne. And he observed that what do? They're always making pranks. They're always making fun. That's their thing, leitzonus, which means a type of sarcastic fun, where it's a fun that involves hurting others. One of them told over how they had harmed a particular child, what they did to hurt a child. And the other one told over that they hurt someone's hand. And this one told over that they hurt someone's leg. And all telling about, laughing and joking about things that they did to hurt others. At this point, this chiger, again, this person who was previously crippled, looked, and he saw a father and mother walking together, crying. So he asked them, "What are you crying about?" And they said to him, "We had a son, and our son used to leave for periods of time, and he would return after a certain period of time. But now he left, and it's been a long, long time, and he hasn't returned. Now this couple were brought before the king of the Shadim, and the king gave a command to send messengers all over the world to search for the son of these parents. And this father and mother returned, and they met someone who was a friend of their son, who used to travel often with their son. But now they met him, and he was alone. So he asked them, "Why are you crying?" And they told him exactly what happened. They told him that their son, who used to be his friend, who traveled with him often, left, and he hasn't come back in a long, long time. So he said, "I'll tell you exactly what happened to your son. There was a certain island in the sea, which was our place. It was the place of the Shadim. And at one point in time, a king, who also had dealings with that island, decided that he wanted to build buildings on that island. And he started laying foundations. And your son said to me, Let's do something to harm this king.' So we went together and we took all of his energy, all of his strength. And this king went to doctors. None of them were able to cure him. None of them were able to heal this problem that he had no energy, no strength at all. Then he started using magicians, machashvin, people that know magic. And there was one magician there that knew the family of your son. Because again, we mentioned that among the Shadim, there are families, just like among human beings, there are families. And in order for a person to be able to tackle these Shadim, in order for a person to be able to control them in any way or defeat them in any way, the person has to know what family the Shad comes from, in order to be able to weaken that shade or defeat him. So this particular magician knew some of the families of the Shadim, and he happened to know the family from which your son comes from, means he knew your family. Whereas my family, he did not know. This is what the friend of the fellow Shade is explaining. Therefore, he couldn't harm me. This magician couldn't harm me in any way. But your son, he was able to grab hold of, and he was able to punish him severely, to inflict tremendous pain on him. And he brought him to the king. This magician was able to conquer that Shade and bring him to the king. I'm sorry. This Shade who's relating this whole incident was now brought before the king of all the Shadim. And he told over his story that I and one of the other Shadim, we were friends, buddies, we hung out together, and we went to this island where this king was building buildings, and it's our place. Therefore, we decided to harm the king. And sure enough, the king got hold of a magician, was able to capture the other Shade and put him through all kinds of suffering. So the king said, okay, no problem. Why don't you return the energy to that king? Why don't you cure him? So this Shade spoke up and said, because one of our fellow Shadim was ill, he was tremendously lacking in energy and strength, and we took the strength of that king and gave it to this Shed. So the king said, no problem, take it away from him and return it to that king. So this Shed responded to the king. What happened is that Shed who we gave this strength to, the strength that the king had originally, that Shed became a cloud. So the king said, okay, let's summon that cloud and have him brought over here. So they sent a messenger. And now, at this point, this one who was originally a cripple said, this is interesting. I want to go see how one of these Shadim becomes a cloud. So he followed this messenger. And he arrived at a particular city where there was this cloud. And he asked the inhabitants of that city, why is it that this city appears to be so cloudy, to have such a big cloud over it? So the people said, what are you talking about? Here in our city, there's no cloud. There hasn't been a cloud here since who knows when. And it's only recently that a cloud has covered our city. So now this messenger whom the king had sent, the king of the Shadim had sent, summoned the cloud and left there. Now this former cripple decided to follow them and to hear their conversation. And he overheard this messenger that the king of the Shadim had sent asking this Shade who had become a cloud, How did you end up here? How did you end up in this city as a cloud? And now this Shed began to relate the whole story of how this had taken place, how he became a cloud. I'd like to pause here for a moment. For those who joined us in the middle, we're in the middle of relating the third story in Rabbi Nachman's stories, which is entitled The Story of the Cripple. And it's an extremely interesting story and a complex story. I'd like to pause here for a moment. If there are any comments or questions, we'll respond. Otherwise, in order to clarify the commentary for this story, we have to get further into it. And then we'll go back and explain whatever information is available from the commentaries on this story. The impression that we're given, both in this story and in other places, is that these Shadim, because they have great powers, they're like angels in many respects, and they're able to do harm to many people, and there are very, very few people that are in a position to stop them in any way, Therefore, they're frivolous. They're not afraid. They don't ask questions before they go do harm to somebody. They think they're on top of the world. They can do whatever they please. I believe that the name, the title Shed, Shin Dalid, is associated with one of the names of Hashem. We know that one of the names of Hashem that's mentioned in the Torah is Shah. We're not permitted to pronounce this name as one word, so I'll split it into two words, Shah and then Dai. This is the name of Hashem that appears on the outside of a mezuzah. We know that a mezuzah is used as a protection for a home. And on the outside of most mezuzahs, number one, either on the case on the outside, or especially on the back of the parchment, the part that's supposed to be visible on the outside, it has this name of Hashem that's spelled Shin, Dalid, and then Yud. The Gemara does tell us, "Bederech she'odom rotzelelech molichnoso," that whatever path a person chooses to take, Hashem leads the person along that path. Meaning a person who chooses to be righteous, who wants to be a righteous person, Hashem will usually help that person. If the person is really sincere and determined and committed and serious, usually Hashem will help that person find righteous people and find the path that they're looking for. And so too, Chas v'Shalom, in the opposite case. At this point, we'll open the microphones also. If there are any questions that anyone wants to submit verbally, be able to do so. Once again, we're in middle of the third story of Rabbi Nachman's stories. And we're just getting warmed up to where Rabbi Nachman is going to show how this cripple, this person who was previously a cripple, is going to be able to, not only has he been able to heal himself, but he's going to be able to affect all kinds of healing and all kinds of improvements in the world. The stories that we're discussing here refers to a specific book, Rabbi Nachman's Stories, which contains 13 of the most outstanding stories that Rabbi Nachman related. We mentioned earlier that the feet, the legs, represent Malchus, kingdom. The Torah tells us that if we want to understand the reason why Hashem created the world, one of the explanations that's given for that is based on the concept of Ein Melech Belo Am, that a person cannot be a king without a nation to rule over. The attribute of knowledge, wisdom, is something that a person can have in their head, in their mind. They're not necessarily dependent on someone else for that. Other attributes also can be independent of others. Kingdom, rulership, is something which is dependent on others. If others accept your authority over them, then you're king. You rule. If they don't accept your authority, if you have no one to rule over, the term king cannot be applied. Kaviyachol, we're told about Hashem that in order for the attribute of kingdom of Hashem to take effect and to be able to do what it can, it required that Hashem create man. Hashem make a creation with man and other living beings to accept the authority of Hashem upon them. And this attribute of kingdom is referred to as the legs, the foundation, the support for the entire body. There are many reasons for this. This is discussed in Kabbalistic writings, etc. But for now, on a certain level, and when we speak about Hashem's greatness or Hashem's authority in the world not being recognized by the majority of the world, where majority of people do not believe in Hashem, or they don't respect Hashem, this means that the kingdom of Hashem is in exile. The kingdom of Hashem is hidden. It's not recognized, it's not acknowledged, it's not respected. And the symbolism of this is this concept of a cripple. Whereas when we speak about a time in the future when Hashem will be acknowledged and recognized and accepted by all as king, that represents the rectification of this, where kavyachol, the legs, will be established permanently. We know that when the Torah speaks about the coming of Moshiach, it refers specifically to the legs. It says, V'omdu raglov bayom hahu al harazesim. His legs will stand firm on the Mount of Olives. This is how the Torah describes the coming of Moshiach, that it represents a tikkun, a rectification for the legs, for the feet specifically. We find in the 13th story that Rabbi Nachman told, he told about certain tzaddikim where each one seemed to have a different weakness, which only appeared to be a weakness. In actuality, it was that tzaddik's greatest strength. One of them was couldn't see, one of them couldn't touch, one of them couldn't had no hands, one of them couldn't speak, and the final one, the seventh one, couldn't walk. And Rabbi Nachman in the story expounds about six of the seven. The betler without feet, that one he doesn't discuss. And the allusion to that is that final betler, that represents Moshiach, who is the one who will be the perfection of the feet, the perfection of the legs. He will be the perfection of the kingdom of Hashem. He'll be the one to enlighten the world completely about the kingdom of Hashem. I hope we'll continue the story next week. We hope and pray that this week, which is when we commemorate the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, where Hashem's kingdom fell greatly, we hope to see the restoration of the kingdom of Hashem and the joy of the Jewish people with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Amen v'amen.